I'm joined now in the studio by the Children's Ombudsman, Dr. Niall Muldoon. Dr. Muldoon, welcome to the programme.
Thank you.
I have to say that it's great to be back and saying Ombudsman without any sense of breaking political correctness. But this, from its inception, is a hugely important job in the context of Irish society. Isn't that so?
That's correct.
We're talking about vulnerable children, but we're talking about vulnerable children across a great raft of areas, in a way. And the one I want, because you were Director of Investigations before mm-hmm. you became Ombudsman, so you've walked into the job knowing a lot of the problems. Mm-hmm. Isn't that so?
That's correct, yes.
What would you see as the primary problem facing us?
Well, I suppose what I'm hoping to do, and I'm delighted to take over from Emily Logan, who was there, my predecessor, did a great job the last 10 years. I suppose what we're looking to do is maybe just push through some of the great work that she's done. One of the ones that I'm looking at the moment is direct provision. It's been a bugbear for the office for 10 years since the very first day that Emily walked in.
Now, can I mm-hmm. say, by direct provision you mean the children of asylum seekers who are awaiting legalisation, the children are trapped in the same no man's land. Is that what
That's
it means?
Correct. Absolutely. There's children there. Excuse me. The children have been there numbers of years, might be born there and lived there for maybe 5, 6, 7 years. The system isn't moving fast enough to get them out into make a decision. But while they're there, they don't have access to our independent complaints handling system. So they have to deal with whatever comes up and whatever problems are there. They deal with them internally, and the reports coming out of the internal system say that there was only 4 complaints made last year, which to us is a very clear indication that there's a lack of faith internally about how complaints can be handled if you don't bring them forward like that.
One of the things facing most modern nations in relation to children is the difficulty of providing space for children, whether in prisons, in mental health, or in social provision, and they tend to get mixed up with adults. Now, everybody knows that's a terribly bad idea, mm-hmm. but it continues to happen.
Correct. As you say, I mean, within direct provision, there's a lack of space, physical space for families. So often you'll have maybe 2 young teenage children with 2 adults sharing a room, or maybe one spare bedroom between them. It's just not appropriate. Similarly, within the prison system, you know, we still have 17-year-olds in Whitefield Prison. Even though it's a separated unit, it's still an adult prison service, and that's one of the things we're trying to push forward as well, to get them moved out to Oberstown, which is a detention centre, which is a whole different emphasis and allows rehabilitation. So, as you say, the mix between adult and children is not appropriate.
The issue of mental health, probably because we didn't talk about it very much, but it seemed that decades ago there wasn't any children with mental health problems. Probably now, because we have better recognition and so on, we see that. How does the state handle children with mental disability?
Well, I think there's been huge progress in regards to talking of it, George. I think there's a lot more people coming out and having the conversation around mental health from all age groups. And I think certainly we know from suicide statistics that a lot of young men have difficulty talking about it and finding the help that they need. And there's a lot of young women as well, the self-harming issues. But I think within the state, we've had difficulties, complaints coming to our office in relation to young children or young adolescents ending up in the wrong units. And when they go into a psychiatric hospital, there's no space left in the adolescent unit, so they end up in an adult ward or even just in a pediatric ward, which isn't mental health focused. And that they end up then having, they might be in there 2 months, but in all that time, they have a nurse with them at all times, but they don't get therapy, they don't get education. They're just looked after to make sure they don't get any worse.
But you're the last line of defence for mm-hmm. children. I mean, children probably don't know who Niall Muldoon is, mm-hmm. don't know who the Children's Ombudsman is, but you are the voice of all the disadvantaged children in this country, are you not?
We are, as you say, the last line, and I think we're continuously trying to improve people's awareness of our office, and I think it's very good as it is, and it's something I'd be building on. But certainly, once they've gone through the system and had made a complaint to the public body that they'd be dealing with, whether that's a school, direct provision or whatever it might be that we have a remit over, hospitals, education, all those areas, we are the last line, and then it's our job then to follow through on an individual case or on a systemic issue, and we've done it on numerous occasions.
Now, my guest, as you suspect, is the Children's Ombudsman, Dr. Niall Muldoon, newly appointed, of course, succeeding Emily Logan after her two terms had expired. Dr. Muldoon, I think the one thing when you read in the paper about children in care in this country is the fact that we lose some of them. I think for ordinary lay people, it's very difficult to understand how you lose a child. How big a problem is that?
I wouldn't be 100% sure of the current figures, but I do know that there were issues a number of years ago when there was a lot of children in again coming through the system and believed to be trafficked, who came into the system, and as soon as they landed in Ireland, might have disappeared out of the sort of residential centres. I'm not 100% sure on the numbers at this moment in time, George.
But there is an issue. If we talk, because social welfare and the people who look after kids, almost certainly that whole department and area has suffered from cuts in the same way. I was really interested to listen to Leo Varadkar, the health minister, at the weekend, who said, we provided 1,000 new beds, and lo and behold, there's still people on trolleys, despite the theory that it was only 750 in the first place. Mm-hmm. So clearly, the cuts of the last number of years would have bitten deep in relation to helping children as well.
Absolutely. I mean, we can see it in every facet of life, whether it's from the children in concerns of homelessness or families going into homelessness who would never have been in that situation before. The social supports don't seem to be there in the same way they were. We've had complaints in relation to families who maybe were a public health nurse has gone to do a check-up on a child, and they're in a hotel as regards through because they're homeless, and then the next time the public health nurse goes back, the children have moved and there's no idea where they've gone to. So the circumstances have made a huge difference in the last 5 years. But I think one of the things that is very clear too, that people on the ground are working very hard. One of the things that Minister Varadkar brought up about 2 weeks ago, which I think is very useful, might be an indicator for the future, is the idea of a working group around the medical card scenario, where he's looking at children who are slightly outside of the limits for that, and seeing using the working committee to say, well, who needs the card and who doesn't. I think that might be some of the thinking that's needed, where the system is not just black and white. Once you've passed the threshold, you're over and you're out. He's looking and saying, well, how can we deal with the people who are slightly on the edge and don't quite fit into the system? I think that's the work that we do in a lot of the times, people that are on the margins, who the policies and procedures don't fit. And when you're looking at the best interests of the child, you've got to start looking in a slightly different way.
But speaking of on the margins, this week I saw some figures that inequality in this country has now grown at such a rate that our sort of statistics for inequality are akin to the United States of America, which is sort of the market leader for inequality, I always thought. How much deeply concern you, does it?
It does. I mean, certainly inequality is something that we're very much fighting against, and I think wherever we see it, we try to stamp it out and to recognise it and get the public bodies and the public services that deal with it and work with children to try and create a system that's much fairer. We're constantly working with the public bodies, the schools, the Department of Education, the Department of Health, Department of Justice, to create a system that allows every single child to be the focus of the decision. I think what we find oftentimes is the decision makers are so separated from the actual decision receiver on the ground, the child on the ground, who actually is impacted by that, they don't recognise that there is a connection between what they've said and the policy they put in place and the way the child has been hampered.
Now, the word ombudsman I always think is interesting, because if you think we have a press ombudsman or we have an insurance ombudsman, and the way we tend to think of them is that there is an injustice or there is a problem, and then the ombudsman sort of comes in on his horse, waving his sword, and saves the day at the last minute. It seems to me that in the relation to children, the problem is much more wide-ranging.
Well, certainly. I mean, I think one of the things, the misconceptions, is that we have to walk a tight line, George, between, in fairness. Our legislation tells us that we're neither an advocate for the child nor an adversary to the public body. So we're constantly walking that fine line to hear the evidence from both sides. And when we do find an injustice, we bring it forward very strongly to the public body, and we look for local resolution in that regard. If that's not forthcoming, we have the possibilities of making strong recommendations to the public body and following through on that. And then finally, if the Ombudsman isn't satisfied with the response to those recommendations, there is always the possibility of going to the Oireachtas.
But your predecessor, Emily Logan, on quite a number of occasions expressed strong disapproval of the fact that she was sort of outside the loop in many decisions and areas where she felt she might have helped, she didn't have any real role. Do you feel that's still the case? And is that something you would like to see changed? Or
I think to be fair to Emily, she made a lot of progress in her time there. So the things like, we were outside the loop in regards to St. Patrick's Institution, which was an adult prison that was holding young people, that we now have the remit to go in there where necessary, but thankfully most of those young people have gone. There's still only a few 17-year-olds in there on remand. She's got the remit, the children's constitutional referendum came forward as part of her time online. That should create a big change where the best interest of the child will be the central consideration, and the voice of the child will be central consideration for all public services. I think once we're in that position, as Ombudsman, we will be able to hold the public bodies accountable to that regard. So they're looking at the individual child in each single case, and that's something that hasn't been the case up to now. I think the policy and the procedures have been the primary. Let's keep them. What's the system? How does the system work? And anybody who's outside of that system is considered a threat to the system, as opposed to a child who needs something slightly different.
All right. Well, I wish you well. And in your two terms, hopefully the achievements will be as large as your predecessor. One of the most crucial jobs in the country, the Children's Ombudsman, and the current holder of the office, Dr. Niall Muldoon. Dr. Muldoon, thank you for joining me.
Thank you, George.